Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast, here today with my special guest, Dean Nolan, Associate Professor of Acting and Head of Musical Theater at Texas Tech University. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mr. Nolan.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So our first questions, as always, we'd like to get to know the person before the program. So if you could please walk us through a little bit of your career and the history leading you up to your time at Texas Tech.
Well, I started out at a time in universities where there wasn't really, there weren't that many BFA programs. So I fashioned my own degree, if you will. I started out as a vocal performance major and then changed my major to theater and kept music as a minor. So I kind of fashioned my own BFA in musical theater, if you will, studying acting, studying singing. It was challenging to do because at that point in time, the School of Music was a little less willing to cooperate with the School of Theater. So there were challenges in terms of going to recital and so on, but we made it. And then I graduated and went on to Dallas after college and started working as an actor there pretty quickly. I was very fortunate to start working at Pegasus Theater almost immediately. And then that led to other jobs. And then I eventually, within two years, I think, got my equity card and then decided it was time to hightail it to New York City. Went to New York City, worked, but struggled, as we all do, and then I took a job at Morgan Stanley at an investment banking firm, and they paid me lots of money, and I was instantly aware that I could, if I needed to, survive in a real quote-unquote job. But it wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. And I remember sitting at my office window every day looking out at 1221 Avenue of the Americas. And there was the Court Theater staring me in every day telling me you're not doing what you should be doing. So, but it was great. I was able to put some money away, and I did eventually, always had planned to live in New York, my favorite city in the world, period. And but then I decided that it was time to find a job that would get me back into my career, as it were. So I started working for a producer in Los Angeles. We moved to LA and worked there for a while. I wanted to understand what production was like. So after a couple of years of that, I decided it was, and still working as an actor, by the way, still working in new musicals and plays at smaller theaters in Los Angeles, of which there are many. And then I decided it was time to go to graduate school, and I knew I wanted to go to one place. And I applied to Yale, where I had already applied, in fact. And this time they said yes. So I accepted that invitation to join 15 other students in our class. I began at Yale 1997, August of 97, and graduated with an MFA in acting in 2000, May of 2000. Before that, I was actually in rehearsals, luckily enough, for a brand new play called Tabletop, which became a really great, successful off-Broadway hit and turned into a commercial off-Broadway run for which we in the cast received a Drama Desk Award for ensemble. And I will tell you, Lily Tomlin placed that award in my hand, and I couldn't speak.
Wow.
And also receiving the ensemble award that year, or not an ensemble award, but a special Drama Desk Award, was Reba McEntire, who happened to be doing, I believe, Annie Get Your Gun. And so
saw that.
It was yep, really wonderful to see these people and get to be in their company and be a working actor. It was quite exciting. And then I started auditioning for quite a few other things. I did some television episodes, as we all do. It's how we pay. Thank God for SVU and Law and Order and everything. It's how we pay rent. And then my agent kept saying that there was a musical called Mamma Mia that Tara Rubin was interested in me coming in and auditioning. I was up for a role in a brand new, a brand new play called The Late Henry Moss by Sam Shepard. And so it was down to me and one other person. And the same day that I found out I did not get cast in The Late Henry Moss was the day that I did find out I was getting, offered the role of Harry Bright in Mamma Mia on Broadway. So I was able to originate that role and had a marvelous time in the Winter Garden Theater. It was 2001, and we opened just a few weeks after 9/11. So that was a really integral time in our lives, all of us in the city and certainly around the country, but in the city especially, realizing that we had a job to do. We had a responsibility as artists to not let this affect us, to move on and continue. And I'll tell you, Tim, it turned out that show, I think, along with Urinetown, which opened just before we did, really became, in some ways, a great escape, a great way of letting go of some of the hurt for at least a couple of hours, and to be able to laugh or to cry or however we needed to feel in the moments that we had there. But it was an example of what we as artists really need to be aware of, our own responsibility. It's powerful what we're able to do and the gift that we're given. So I will always cherish that experience. And then I moved on to a play called Omnium Gatherum, which was written by Teresa Rebeck and Alexandra Gersten Vasileros, and my dear friend Will Frears directed from grad school at Yale. And it was a marvelous experience as well. So, you know, I think it's important that we move from play to musical to television show to film back to a musical, back to a play. I think versatility is so key to who we are these days, certainly as actors. Not only actors, sometimes writers, sometimes directors, sometimes teachers, which was what became an extension of my own experience as a professional actor and director. So that's in a nutshell, just lots of regional theater. It's a big nutshell. Sorry, that took a little time, but it has been a wonderful journey. I recently did a play yet again with Teresa, with Rebeck, and Rob Ackerman, who wrote Tabletop, the summer prior to the epidemic, prior to COVID. Mm-hmm. We got in a new show called Dropping Gumballs on Luke Wilson. And it was off-Broadway, wonderful, wonderful, funny, funny show. Teresa directed it this time. She did not write it. And Rob Ackerman, who wrote Tabletop, wrote it. So I continue to work. I think we all do. Those of us who are working actors and teachers, teaching artists, it's important that we remain relevant, as you know.
Absolutely.
Relevant in the classroom. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I was in one of those first audiences at Mamma Mia just after 9/11. And you're absolutely right. It was totally an escape. I think, I don't remember exactly. I remember it's either Mamma Mia or Urinetown gave Juilliard some tickets for the students that week. And I was able to get one of those and as one of the students. And yeah, we all went as just like a, okay, back to somewhat sense of normalcy, and it was really great. What a better show, just to not have any sort of serious, we're not thinking about anything, we're just there to have a good time. No. It was really wonderful.
Nothing major, nothing happening other than a great time, a celebration of sorts.
Right. So now you're at Texas Tech. So tell us, which degrees does Texas Tech offer that you are working with, that you're there?
So we offer a Bachelor of Arts degree with a major in theater and a minor in acting, if that's preferred. There is a BFA program, which encompasses a design and technology degree, a musical theater track, and an acting track. So those are the three foci. of the BFA program. And then I think there will soon be an education program within, or an education track within that BFA degree. And then we have a master's degree, Master of Fine Arts in Performance and Pedagogy, along with a PhD in theater, which is a well-rounded degree, very much geared toward academia, as is the performance and pedagogy degree.
And so for the purposes of this podcast, we'll be talking about the BFA, and we'll touch on the BA degree as well. But it is, to clarify, a BFA in theater is the name of the degree, and then you choose the track, musical theater or acting.
Correct. You audition. Awesome. You're a curator, auditioned, and accepted.
Beautiful. Yeah. So I assume, because it's the same degree with two different tracks, that there's quite a bit of crossover between the musical theater kids and the acting students. Is that correct to say?
There is indeed. You know, it's interesting. There are three very important components, of course, to us who work in musical theater. Acting, of course, for us is the prism through which we begin that process. Music is equally important as dance, or singing, dance, and acting are all three important. But what we do is through that prism of being an actor, that idea of understanding objective and letting the song be part of, you know, the storyline. The lyric is also a monologue. It is important for us to be able to live that life as truthfully as possible. So in that sense, yes, they all study acting together, voice, speech together. There are certainly other foci, I don't know, I hate that word, but I will say it, foci.
Twice in one episode we've used the word foci. I probably haven't heard that word in a long time, so well done.
I'm not trying to show off, I promise. I'm not I'm using it correctly. But it's dance and singing and acting are all three just so key. And then acting, of course, there are, for that degree, there are any number of other electives and concentrations that they deal with in terms of acting styles and so on. Lots of film on camera acting is very important to both tracks in the BFA program, musical theater and acting.
So let's actually go a little bit deeper into that. So let's say that I am a first year student in the BFA theater degree program. Normally I would take acting separately from musical theater, but let's just go through and say, what does that first year look like for a BFA theater student? And then we'll delineate, and then the acting students do this, then the musical theater students do this.
Sure. So in the beginning, the foundational acting courses are taught usually by me for that first year. So Principles of Acting 1 and Principles of Acting 2 for the fall and the spring semester. We deal with realism. We deal with some styles, but later on in the training is where the period styles begin to really take hold. But in the beginning, it is just a foundational, good old-fashioned Stanislavski-based training with a little bit of a twist in that we work in Gister method, which is also Stanislavski, but Gister was our teacher at Yale and was an amazing artist, teacher, soul. And I think his method, the Gister method, is really quite interesting. The biggest sense, or the biggest shift, is the sense of what it is to send an action. An action is actually how you make someone feel in order to get what you need, versus an activity, an action being an activity. But that's just a little bit of what we're talking about in the first year of acting. We believe that Meisner, we believe that other techniques are super important, and that a student should be exposed to any number of techniques and then be able to pull from what works for them. How do they interpret and own the work or the technique that they begin to feel good about? How do they use that to their advantage? So that there is strong work in voice, which is based in Fitzmaurice. I am Linkletter and Fitzmaurice, so I'm sort of a child of both of the two mothers who hated each other, Fitzmaurice and Linklater. But there is such great information in both, such great learning in both Fitzmaurice and Linklater. And then they also, musical theater students will take lots of dance classes, and that begins in the very first semester. They are taking dance, of course, every semester that they are there. And they will be able to move up into dance two, dance three, wherever they are. And then voice singing is something that the musical theater students do every semester, an hour every semester with their teacher. There are recitals. There is something that we call cohort, which happens every Friday, so that actors in the track, the acting track, and then actors in the musical theater track all come together for what we call a cohort, and they then present work that they're working on in class, in acting class, in studio, the voice studio, and if there's dance, any combinations that they need to bring in and work, then the faculty come together. We have this experience where we're able to talk to them, coach them, and work with them in that kind of conservatory environment. And it's really, I think, quite wonderful. We are we're a liberal arts university, and the degree is such, but we also give a sense of it being a bit of a conservatory, though it isn't officially. So there's lots of opportunity for students to present work, to hear feedback, to hear constructive criticism, to begin to learn critical thinking, how important that is to all of us. It's not enough to just say, well, I like that. Why do you like it? What is it that makes that work important or good? So that's basically the first year. There are also a number of classes that will need to be taken for the core, like English or math or social sciences and what have you. But there is an immersion, if you will, in their major classes from the very beginning all the way through to the end of the of their time.
So you touched on students being able to level up in dance.
Yes.
Did I understand that correctly? So that's always a question that we're asked, of course, because we have the dancers that have been dancing since they were 2 years old.
Yep.
Going into the programs. Are they able to test out of anything else if they're coming in with, say, music theory or anything like that?
They can, although we haven't really come up against as many people wanting to do that. Basically, we bring students in who have tremendous talent but may need to, in other words, level up as a singer or level up as a dancer or level up as an actor. And we help them meet those needs all the way through the 4 years. And in terms of testing out, we have, I think, clept, that's the word we used when I was in school, we clep a couple of students out of music theory, certainly if they are able. If they are leveled up quite far in dance, they just continue dancing into as much deeper concentration of whatever discipline they're interested in, whatever style they're interested in. They continue to work with teachers, master teachers that we bring in, or faculty who are there. So they still dance. I think it's very important that even if you test out, or you feel like you really should be dancing, you really should be singing, should be working on monologues and scenes all the way through.
Mm-hmm. So as we're talking about bringing in credits and training with you, is it common for students to come in with a lot of AP or dual enrollment classes, and then are they able to, say, double, or do you allow a double major? Or if not, can they minor? Is it easy to minor?
You know, the last thing we say, Tim, is no. Generally speaking, if somebody says, hey, I'm basically coming as a sophomore based on the number of hours that I have AP coming in from high school, can I dual major or can I have a minor in business? And the answer is always, let's see what we can do. And it frankly depends on that student. If they make the transition into college, which almost, 99.9% of our students do, because they're so driven in terms of what it is that they're interested in, they know very well that this is their path forward, is either acting or acting in musical theater, living those lives. So, if they do come in, they can certainly move into another major if it fits, if they can do it within the 4 years. They often will minor in something else, like business, or we do have students, Tim, who come in as honors students. That's a real, they are honors students in addition to BFA, and so they already are required to have this intense level of academic success, in addition to all of the performance work that they're doing. So it's heavy, and they seem to fly through, but we make sure that each student is able to take that on. Like I said, most of them we haven't found anybody who can't yet.
Well, that's something good to note too, is that you have the honors program there, and that musical theater students, it can make sense for them to participate, because in some schools, we have an honors program, but as an MT student, you either don't reap the benefits or it's just impossible for you to do. So that's a really good thing to note for those students who are considering an honors college. Mm-hmm. And so if a student is coming and say that doesn't have a lot of dual enrollment or AP credits, is the schedule so packed as a BFA that it would be difficult for them to take a minor?
It's tight. Yep, it's very tight, the curriculum. We are members of NAST, so the National Association of Schools of Theater. So we are, generally speaking, always looking at a degree plan, at a curriculum, seeing what we might be able to or need to adjust based on changing times, based on more current curriculum that might need to be updated. Now, we started this program in earnest about 6 years ago, six, seven years ago. So our first two classes have graduated from the BFA program and are out working and making their way. So, it is. I think that's my answer.
And you were one of the founders of this program, is that correct?
That's right. Yes. So once they, I hope you can edit this and not make me sound like an airhead. I lost my train of thought.
Well, now I'm definitely not cutting that part out.
There is that human quality we all have, and I just had it for a moment. But yeah, the students who come in who don't necessarily have as many AP hours, the degree is really tight, but we try to make it so that they can have some electives, some classes that are exciting to them, like, for instance, acting on camera, maybe a business class or some sort of class in another discipline. But yeah, it's the more they bring in terms of AP courses, the more leeway they have in terms of electives. But it is traditionally, at most any university, a really tight degree plan for musical theater.
Are there minors within the theater program, acting for the camera, any design tech minors that students can add?
There is a film certificate in our program that is in conjunction with the Media and Communications College. There are other certificate programs that we're starting, certainly in education soon. And yes, there are other ways that they can minor. The goal is for them to be there for those 4 years so that they can actually graduate with their cohort and go into the showcase and move forward. There is also study abroad, Tim, which we try to encourage students to take in the summer, so that they don't miss anything within the school year, but they have this opportunity to go abroad, perhaps over the summer, and pick up that experience. It's we have a campus, I believe, in Costa Rica, which I can't wait to go to, actually. Wow. the campus in Seville, Spain, and then in Prague, Czech Republic. So there are lots of opportunities, and those are just our campuses. You can go anywhere, practically. Our study abroad program is pretty broad spectrum and exciting.
Great. Let's talk about performance opportunities. Starting from freshman year through the 4 years, what does your season look like? And are freshmen allowed to perform? Cover all the bases.
Yeah, we do. We invite freshmen to be part of the casting pool the moment they arrive. We don't hold them back. In fact, I would say most shows, even in the first semester, typically have a couple of freshmen. Of brand new first-year students in the cast, depending, of course, upon their appropriateness for a role, are they right for it? But we don't shy away from that. We feel like if you're here, you're ready to work, and that's where you need to be. We also, you know, believe in breaking a sweat, not, you know, just literally and figuratively. You know, the work, I love to work hard because I love what I do, and that's sort of who we are as actors. Sustainability, of course, is important to us. So that's a big part of the casting pool and making sure that people have the opportunity to work, but also maintain time management skills and have a life, not just always working. So there are, generally speaking, 6 to 7 productions per year. In our theater, we just moved into about 2 years ago, we moved into our first phase of a new $43 million state-of-the-art complex. So we are super lucky to have had that experience. And in the spring, we move into phase two, which is our major theater, a big stage, which has been gutted and completely renovated. So we get all of our spaces back. We will begin to work in the spring with a production of Sweet Charity, which will be our first production back in the Majan Theater, our main stage. So we've been working in our black box and our other studio spaces within the new building. And so shows take place there or in our Creative Movement Studio, which is across campus and also is a very viable space for not only dance performances, but a number of new play initiatives that we have for students who are in our program, who write, direct, and want to either perform or design shows on their own. That is called Frontier Fest, and it is very exciting. So there are two musicals, one in the fall and one in the spring. The fall musical, well, either or, will likely be either a staple, a golden age, or a more classical music, or something very contemporary, or a brand new musical that we will premiere. We have a connection that we're still establishing and trying to figure out how to make it happen for us with Foundation of New American Musicals out of Los Angeles. And there are lots of new plays being written, new musicals being written, and that's exciting to us, the opportunity to give a musical perhaps its first experience being read, or a workshop production, or a full production. So those are things that we are very, very excited about. So that is our season, and those are many ways in which the students perform. There is also a cohort weekly. There are also recitals at the end of every semester. Because of COVID, we had to back away from our cabaret performance at the end of every semester, where students come out and sing one song from their repertoire from the season or from that semester. And it is just a big old celebration of performances, singing. And then some actors, if they're excited about a scene, definitely bring them up and have them work a scene, do a scene within the cabaret.
So, you just mentioned you mentioned also dance performances. Is there a dance minor that students can add?
There is a dance minor. There's also a BFA in dance. Forgive me. There's now a BFA in dance and an MA in dance. And I would be remiss if I did not speak on those. Forgive me. But yes, they too are, and they're brand new. They're right out of the box and something we're super excited about.
And you mentioned a showcase. So at the end of the 4 years, tell us what that showcase looks like.
The showcase is regional, and then we will plan to open it up further to a more national presentation. Because of COVID, though, as you well know, a lot of agents and a lot of casting directors are looking at film showcases, which is what we did the last 2 years, our first years. We would like to expand, but we want to do it the smart way and build it up and get a presence, have a presence built in New York and eventually Los Angeles. So as we continue to build our program, we will continue to develop a bigger showcase for our students. Mm-hmm. A number of our students are now in both New York and LA, a couple in Chicago who graduated over the last 2 years. A number of them are working on cruise ships and having a blast and saving money. And that's huge because, you know, living in New York is so impossible financially. And a number of them are working in regional theaters. So they're kicking it. I'm really excited to look at Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and see what everybody is doing. It's inspiring.
Great. So other than yourself, who are the other key players in the musical theater and acting track that the students are going to work with while they're there?
There are so many. Rachel Hirshhorn Johnston is our new head of acting directing. She is our Fitzmaurice voice teacher and is fabulous. It is a rigorous and I think very important and inspiring track in terms of learning what the voice does, what we can do speech-wise, how we can learn to breathe, simply breathe, and let that be impactful in our work as actors. A dance will be Kyla Ali Duffy, Kyla Olson, who's head of dance, Ali Duffy, and several other new faculty members who come in and teach on a guest basis throughout the year. Why Not is a dancer who has been coming in and working with us out of New York. There is Bill Gelber, Dr. Bill Gelber, who teaches period styles in acting. There is Professor Jesse Zhao, who is also, by the way, a Yalie and graduated in 2010. And is a director and teaches directing and teaches acting classes. There's also Casey Keenan Joyner, who teaches musical theater, voice classes. We have had the most wonderful Shayna Talo teaching voice lessons over the last couple of years. She is now teaching away, but will possibly be coming back, which I'm hoping. She's stunning. And then our School of Music, Greg Brooks is one of the faculty there who will be teaching voice for our musical theater students. So we're beginning a really wonderful collaboration with the School of Music, between the School of Theater and Dance and the School of Music. It's quite nice, this new collaboration, this new interdisciplinary approach to working between the two schools, to really sharing the talents of both schools and bringing it together. And then, of course, the academic classes that they continue to take. But these are world-class professors that I absolutely love working with, and the students learn so much from.
Mm-hmm. The campus is in Lubbock, Texas. I'm afraid I've never been there myself, and Texas Tech is definitely one of the schools I still need to go visit. But tell us about the campus and sort of what the area is like if students want to enjoy some things off campus.
So I'll just tell you briefly, I grew up in a town called Seminole, Texas, which is about an hour and 10 minutes southwest of Lubbock. So I know Lubbock. I know West Texas. It is my home. And after having lived in New York for 25 years plus and 13 years in Los Angeles, it's great to be back home quote unquote, in my neighborhood, and being able to work with students from around the state and around this region, and certainly around the country. We have students who come from Florida, all over the place. And it's great to be able to share what I think is special about West Texas, and that is the quietness, the ability to focus on what it is that we do, on our work. But there are still great opportunities for theater being created around town. Lubbock is a really artsy, arts-minded town. There is a brand new facility called Buddy Holly Hall. It is a performance hall named, obviously, after the great. And it is, I believe, $125 million new complex. I believe that was what it came over, maybe $150 by the time it was finished. But it is a touring facility. It is a performance facility. It is extraordinary in ballet. Lubbock is housed there. There are a number of theater companies locally that produce there. So you asked earlier about potential avenues or venues for students to work. There are also there is also that possibility in the city and surrounding. Lubbock is known as the hub city, so it's as if we're the middle of the wheel and the spokes all go out to like Albuquerque toward that direction, then out toward or up toward Amarillo, south toward Midland, Odessa, east toward Dallas, Fort Worth. So we are the industrial complex there in the middle of West Texas, where so many come. Certainly in terms of hospitals, I think arts organizations that are really key to the region, people look to Lubbock for that kind of leadership. So that's, I think, the exciting thing about being in West Texas. Plus, you can get on a plane at Lubbock, yes, International Airport, and be in New York very quickly, be in Dallas within 45 to 50 minutes, or Los Angeles within 3 hours. So it's kind of wonderful in that sense. Plus, I like being able to see the sunset for days. You know, it's incredible. It's flat and beautiful, and weather is kind of a secret. It's perfect. Right now it's 60 degrees, and at night it's 40s. And we're kind of a high desert, so it's about 3,000 feet above sea level, so we're not too terribly high, but we're high enough that we have really good weather. I love it, except for the sandstorms, and they only come in the spring.
Well, I'm sold. I'll get on a plane and
come on out and visit. We'd love to show you the facilities. Yeah, for sure.
So let's switch gears into the last section here that we always talk about, and it's the reason why most students, I think, tune into this podcast, and that is the audition process. So let's go and check out the audition, the requirements needed for both of those programs. I was just trying to figure out in my brain before I said it out loud, should we treat them separately, or is it as acting in musical theater, or should we just talk about it as one? What's easiest, do you think?
Let's do both, because they're slightly different. For the acting program, for the acting track within the BFA program, there are two monologues required, one classical piece in verse, and then another piece very contemporary. And that is the extent of the audition, with the exception of the wild card video that we ask for. These are all electronic submissions for the acting track and the musical theater track, but I'll talk about that separately in a second. But through our website online, students who are interested in applying can, without a fee. We use Constant Contact through our college to allow people to submit their auditions electronically without any charge. We really resist students having to pay even more money to apply every time. So they do it free of charge. They submit their monologues and then a wildcard video, giving us a minute of who they are specifically, what makes them stand out, what is it they're excited about that they want us to know that's unique to them. And then if we and then there's an interview process as well once you've passed that pre-screen. So we'll invite people from that pre-screen after they've submitted their materials. They'll find out if we would like to see them in a personal visit, an on-campus visit, which takes place generally in a callback session in February. So that's acting. And the musical theater track is the very same thing. They are required to submit two monologues, one contemporary, one from a classical piece, and then two songs, one more contemporary and contrasting both, so monologues contrasting as well as songs, and one from the golden era, if they wish, or something more classical in nature. And it is generally speaking 32 bars, a little more, a full phrase, and being we don't stop them necessarily, but if they give us a full song, we probably won't listen to the whole thing, but we'll be able to get through and understand what we need to know about them through that electronic submission. We also require dance submission so that we see them through the a video, a bit of choreography from them that they're able to bring themselves, a phrase that will give us an idea of their expertise. And there's generally two dance phrases that are required. So two dance, two songs, and then two monologues. And the wild card as well for musical theater. Then again, we really depend quite a lot on the interview. If the interview can be in person, that's our preference. We can interview via Zoom, since we're also used to it anymore. But there's no penalty there or anything. But what we're really looking for, Tim, beyond talent, is generosity of spirit. Who is professional in the sense that they're not simply looking out for themselves, but they're looking out for the work. They want to know what it is to be a good, strong, professional, versatile actor who sings, an actor who dances, a musical theater performer. What is it about them that is special? What is it about them that they allow to be part of the work that they do? I believe that there is something so innate in all of us that is so individual. I believe it's the soul. And I believe when we can allow that to be part of everything that we do, that becomes the X factor, if you will. That's really what I think it is. And, even looking at Meryl Streep or Denzel Washington or whomever, I'm looking at them and I know it's them, but there's something different, but there's still something uniquely them in every character that they bring. And I think that's branding. I think that's something that we all need to be free to do, is allow ourselves to come through. Wallace Shawn. Every time I see Wally Shawn, it's a different character, but it's Wally Shawn coming through as well. But it's a beautiful thing to be an individual and to let that be part of our work. So,
And tell me, you said you invite them for the live audition. Where does that live audition take place?
It takes place here on campus in our new facilities. Again, might I just want to mention brand new $43 million facility.
Just get that in there one more time. That's okay. You should be proud of that.
Repeat that one more time. Yeah, it's so exciting for us. And we just put our head down and just get the work done. We don't try to brag about it, but we certainly want to know that we want people to know that there is something really special and state of the art happening in West Texas of all places, and something very exciting for students of the theater, students who are actors.
So you have the Zoom audition or on campus, but you don't do any other like the Unifieds and things like that.
We do travel around. Generally speaking, we go to Moonifieds in Dallas. Then we travel to, well, before that, we do Cap United in Atlanta. We have in the past joined Texas State and Shenandoah at what was known as Combines in New York before COVID. We'll see if that comes back. But then we also do Texas Swing, which takes place in Dallas, and then we go to Houston, and then we go to San Antonio. Most of the people that we see regionally or from around the country, we see at these events. And so the last few years, we have not gone to Unifieds in Chicago, simply because we see most of what we really are looking for and as much as we can handle in those auditions. And I'll be honest with you, at this point in the program, we take 12 people every year in the BFA program. Six are in the acting track and six in the musical theater track. So it is a very specific talent and generosity that we're looking for that we bring into the program. It's very possible that we would increase that at some point, but we really like the idea of focusing on a very specific group and giving them the support that they need to go through the program and graduate and have that confidence, I think.
Yeah, those aren't very big numbers, six actors and six musical theater students. So what would you say to the student that is maybe scared off by that?
I would say that if I had thought about that when I was applying to grad school at Yale, I probably never would, but I did. And there were probably 800-900 people who applied. I was one of 16. I just believe that we can't look at those numbers. We have to believe that that we are what someone is looking for. When I walk into an audition, Tim, I say and always have said, somebody's got to get it. Why not?
I say that all the time. That's so funny. I literally say that all the time. I say, remember that these schools, don't look at it like these schools are only taking 12 kids. Look at it like these schools need to find 12 kids. And right. So why not let one of them be you?
Why not me? Yes. Yeah. And I think that's a positive way of looking at it. A supportive way to oneself. Yeah. Hey, this is possible. And if it isn't, if it doesn't happen, then there's something else very exciting that might or might not happen for you. It's not the be-all and end-all, but if something if there's something that you're interested in, don't let statistics get in your way. Push yourself and go.
Beautifully said. My last question to all of our guests is always, tell us something you're looking forward to.
Oh, I'm looking forward to getting to New York this fall after the semester is over and spending some time back in the city over the holidays and seeing a lot of shows. My best friend is in 1776 right now. So I'm excited to see her and that production and several others, a dear friend in Music Man. So lots of shows to see, lots of friends to catch up with. It's been a long COVID winter, and thank God we're all coming out of it. We can start living again a little bit.
Right. And
so much more, Tim, so much more. But yes, now, selfishly, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Beautiful. And Dean, tell us if students or parents want to get to know anything more about the programs at Texas Tech, what's the best way to get in touch?
Go on our website, and on that website, you'll find a directory that puts you in touch with myself and any of the other folks, so the faculty in the acting directing area, our director of the School of Theater and Dance, Martin Charney. We are all accessible and happy, happy, happy to answer any questions. We field in emails from interested students and family members constantly, so don't think we won't respond, because guess what? We'll get a response and we'll talk to you.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with us today.
My pleasure, Tim. Thanks so much for letting us come on the show. Appreciate it.
Of course. We look forward to seeing you around here real soon.
You got it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and resources we have to offer at The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.